As we read through the Torah, we get to know our matriarchs and our patriarchs, literally as if they're our grandparents. In many ways, we know them better than our great-great-grandparents. The Torah is so detailed about their lives, and there's a reason for that. Because the more we understand about them, the more we can internalize, the more we can perpetuate their lives. It may sound a little cliche to say that we walk in the footsteps of our matriarchs and patriarchs. And indeed, in Israel, there's a pathway which is called Derech Ha'avot, the pathway of our patriarchs. It is understood that it's on this very pathway our patriarchs and our matriarchs would have traveled from the holy city of Hebron to the capital city, the eternal capital of the Jewish people, Jerusalem. But it's not about walking in the footsteps literally. And perhaps it does sound a little cliche, so let's just say the perpetuation of the lives of our matriarchs and our patriarchs and all that came before us. Abraham and Sarah, the first Jewish couple. We've already spoken in the Torah about the birth of Isaac, the trials with Isaac, some of the feud within the family itself, and I'm going to leave that drama on the side. We are here in the parsha of Chayei Sarah, the fifth parsha in the book of Genesis. Chayei Sarah means the life of Sarah. However, immediately, as we open up on this parsha, we see it's not about her life, it's about her passing. She passes away. Abraham negotiates the burial place for his wife. Note, by the way, the burial place, Jewish belief is all about burial in the end of life. Hebron, by the way, is the oldest Jewish cemetery that exists. Sarah is laid to rest, and regardless, this parsha is called The Life of Sarah, which would indicate in a title that we would be discussing the life. But we know actually that the life has just passed. Sarah is passing to the next stage of her journey. But upon review of the parsha, we can recognize and understand that indeed it is about the life of Sarah. To begin with, you see immediately that Abraham instructs his right-hand man, Eliezer, to find a wife for his son Yitzchak. And indeed, we see miraculously, Eliezer chances upon exactly the right kind of lady with the right kind of ideals that would be suitable for the son of Abraham, Yitzchak Avinu, Isaac, our forefather. Eliezer is traveling and is laden with all sorts of resources. He has a job to do at any cost. Find a suitable wife for Abraham's son, for Yitzchak. And he says as follows. He offers a prayer to the Almighty. He says, God, the God of my master Abraham, please set up the situation that the right person will appear and do kindness with my master Abraham. Cleverly, he sets up a sign for himself as to who would be the appropriate woman. He would stop at the watering hole. And that was the place that everyone would come to give water to their flock. Says Eliezer, and it will be the maiden that comes that not only offers water to me, but also offers water for my camels, that's going to be a sign that this is the appropriate woman for my master's son, Yitzchak. Of course, we understand that Yitzchak grew up in a house where it was full of kindness. Abraham was standing at the four-sided tent. He was looking for his passerbys to invite inside, to be able to give over to them. This was a character trait. This was a quality that Yitzchak had grown up with. And Eliezer identified that the woman, the girl, the maiden, who had this same quality, that would be the appropriate lady and maiden for Yitzchak Avinu. Again, over here we see the precision of how our ancestors thought and toiled to perpetuate ideals which are so inherent to us as the Jewish nation. If you're looking for a shidduch, you're looking for a perspective. So where do you look? You look at those which have the same background as yourself, those which have the same qualities as yourself, etc. Note that. Oftentimes, especially in today's day and age, people get caught up in the exterior. What does she look like? What will I feel like standing next to her, as opposed to what are those inner qualities? What am I looking for my family to be able to perpetuate? The tremendous gift that's been handed down to us Jewishly through our matriarchs and patriarchs. But I digress, because the story continues. Almost immediately, when he goes to the watering hole, such a maiden presents herself and offers not only to him, but to his camels to drink. Of course, that's a tremendous insight that this is the woman that Hashem has sent, the Bashert. The deal is clinched. And let's go back to the beginning of the discussion. Why is this parasha called the life of Sarah? Because over here you actually see the life of Sarah as it's perpetuated, which brings up another critical point. What is life? Living, we all know about, but what is life? Life denotes something that is not time-based, that is eternal, something that is true, that lasts and endures. The decisions that we make that have life are the decisions that live way beyond us and well past the time of our allotment on this earth. Chaye Sarah, in this week's parsha, we truly see the life of Sarah. And indeed, as you open up your eyes in the morning and you live as a Jew, you too are living the life of Sarah. Chaye Sarah is really the story of each and every one of our lives, as we live our lives perpetuating the ideals of Abraham and Sarah. What a tremendous merit we have to not only walk in the footsteps of our matriarchs and patriarchs, but to actually expand and lengthen that same path that they beat out for us. And we provide the critical link to the next generation. Have a fantastic day.